Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Let's bow our head and send our strongest members to the King of Pop, the Prince of Hope, our brother, Michael Jackson.
So I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and what I find interesting is the story of David. He fell in very, very significant ways, but then picked up the pieces and built from there.
I just had a conversation with Al Franken congratulating him. My wife's faith, the Catholic faith, she's there praying the rosary, and in the New Testament, Philippians, is a section to be anxious about nothing, prayer and supplication, put your faith in God. I'm in the Jewish faith, and God has a plan. I believe that.
The president does say he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman, but he's opposed to the Defense of Marriage Act. He wants to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
A couple of special friends, Bishop Gene Robinson. Where's Gene?
I am freezing in here, but it's good. Once I close the door for the show to begin, then the vent that is pointed for some reason directly at my head doesn't blow so hard as it does when the door is hanging open. So this blast, I mean, I am... Anybody who knows me knows that I like the temperature down, but this is ridiculous. I don't know what you guys were thinking this morning, but this is cold. I mean, genuinely cold in here. And especially since it's such a beautiful warm Friday out there with a little bit of rain falling, they could open the front door and warm themselves out there in the control room. I must freeze in the studio on this Friday
afternoon.
What's
your temperature clock say? What's the clock say on the temperature? What's it say?
All right. It says 72.
72.
Which I know is not that cold.
Something's wrong with you.
When the
you
vent...
Would you like to borrow my shawl?
Yes. I'd like to borrow your old woman shawl if I could. It's the vent blowing on me all afternoon. I'm sitting here the whole time and it just freezes me in place. So, I mean, now the door is closed and the vent doesn't blow so hard because the circulation doesn't go around.
Have
I don't
you
know
thought
how it works.
About like maybe semi-closing the vent or putting it so it blows towards the wall?
I can't reach
you.
I can't reach it. And the only chairs we have in the LPR studio are these rolly chairs, and I'm not getting on top of one of those. I mean, our insurance is good, but it's not that good.
Craig to give you a lift, you know? just put your foot here.
Maybe you could just pick me up like a baby. That'd be nice. Put me up on his shoulder. Listener email first this Friday afternoon on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. And as usual on Friday, we follow listener email with the Issues Etc. blog of the week and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Second hour of the program, we're going to be talking with Dr. Ben Witherington about the reported discovery of a quarry used by King Herod for some of his construction. He's famous in the first century world for his construction projects in the ancient Near East, and we'll find out what it means to have found at least one of his quarries. And then Dr. Kim Riddlebarger will join us to continue our series with him, part two of a four-part daily series on end times teachings today, the tribulation, that seven-year period, and some would even narrow it down to 3.5 years, calling it the Great Tribulation, wherein the Antichrist rules the world in advance, of course, of Christ's third coming, according to the dispensational model, where then Christ gets to rule the world for 1,000 years. But we'll get to the tribulation first, the Great Tribulation, with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger in the second hour of the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. First up, listener email.
This is Joseph in Louisiana. Joseph writes, a colleague who is about to interview for a new job in a school asked me a question about how one becomes a Christian, and the conversation ended up degrading into some sort of a timeline of what happens first, second, etc. in our conversion. At what point do you have saving faith? There was a mention of repentance, contrition, baptism, hearing the word, objective versus subjective justification, etc. Eventually, my friend and I decided that there is not a timeline. Could you clear this up? Writes Joseph in Louisiana.
Okay, if you're asking the question, when does God give saving faith? all we can ever say is what Scripture says. And if Scripture does define something very finely and carefully, then we are free to do that. And if Scripture leaves something less than clearly defined, at least to our way of thinking, then that's all the farther we can go. So we don't want to say anything more or anything less than what Scripture says. Scripture says quite clearly that it is faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That is the preaching of Christ's atoning work, his saving work, in a perfect life, death, and resurrection for sinners. Faith comes by hearing. Now, it doesn't break it down the way we would like it broken down into kind of a scientific timeline wherein when exactly, at what point in cognition, at what point in hearing is faith created. There are times when there is hearing and faith is not created. And yet, Scripture tells us that it is God's will, constant and earnest will, that all who hear would believe. Man's hard-hearted stubbornness and unbelief can reject what it is the Holy Spirit gives through the hearing of the gospel. So we can't go too far in breaking down a timeline. Now, when it comes to baptism, a similar caution is probably warranted. What does the Bible teach God does in and through baptism? The Bible is quite clear. In baptism, God unites a sinner, an unbeliever, previously, with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, kills the old man, raises up the new man, grants faith and the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins all in one fell swoop. But the Bible doesn't permit us to say, at one point in, say, the rite of baptism, at one point in and around the act of baptism, is saving faith created? We don't ring any bells. We don't turn on any special lights. We simply say that in and through baptism, God promises to do these great things, including giving saving faith. We can say, before baptism, as far as God's word informs us, we have an unregenerate, unbelieving sinner. After baptism, as God's word promises us, we have a believing, reborn Christian. But we don't break it down any farther than that. And a similar caution holds true if you want to talk about things like when is Christ's body and blood present in the Lord's Supper? It says it is. It says, eat this, drink this. The whole action is included in Christ's command, but it does not say, here's that magical or even mechanical or scientific point at which you can say something is happening. I think God leaves it vague in that sense, because otherwise we would focus on that point rather than on the promise. So he simply says, preach the word, in season, out of season, when people listen, when people don't. And the promise is that through the hearing of the word of Christ, saving faith is giving. So go preach it. And Christians, go hear it. And so you're right. In that kind of precise, scientific, calculated way, there is no timeline. We have promises, and we have promises kept. And that's all the more Scripture gives us there.
So some might say, why does the timeline appear to be different from infants than it does for adults?
I don't think it is. I think it only appears to be. Because a person can hear the word of God many times, and some people like to stretch out the timeline. Bill Hybels says how to become a contagious Christian. He's got a whole book on stretching out this timeline, all the things that we have to do before the Holy Spirit can get up and go and do what he has promised to do. No, preach the word in season and out of season. Be diligent in preaching the word, and the Holy Spirit does his work when and where he wills. Our job to preach the word, our job to hear the word, and to be faithful in this. So I guess the difficult thing here is that we would like to, and many do mistakenly say, I can point to the point when it happens. It was my decision. That's a very convenient and very seemingly comforting thing. I know when it happened, when I made my decision, and I can tell you the moment that I watched the clock. I saw the hands ticking away, and I made my decision at this point in time on this day in the calendar. But that's putting all the emphasis on what you did, or what you allegedly did, rather than what God promised and what he accomplished through his word.
Here's an email from Thomas. He says it's regarding the I'm trying to get Jack Van Impe talking about the tribulation.
Oh, okay.
for next hour. Thomas writes, it's dawned on me that the President's Council on Bioethics must have been dissolved for programmatic and business reasons.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the recent story from the Obama administration that suddenly, without any warning, the members of the President's Council on Bioethics were informed. We heard from Dr. William Hurlbut recently by a FedEx letter, each one of them, that the Council on Bioethics was being dissolved and that their upcoming meeting was not going to be held. The reports that they had pending were no longer needed and that their services were no longer needed. And I think everyone on the President's Council for Bioethics were somewhat astonished, but no one really surprised at the real reason why you would dissolve the Council on Bioethics under the Obama administration. They were not going to give him the conclusions he wanted. And so since he disagreed with even the little consensus that they could come up with regarding embryonic stem cell research and other issues bioethical, he simply dissolved the council. And I think it would be fair to say, drawing that analogy as our emailer did, that it is about as plausible as the programmatic and business reasons that were given for our cancellation.
Richard, Plano, Texas, what is the music used as the opening / background music of Issues, Etc.? The music was one of many pieces played during the Houston, Texas fireworks extravaganza tonight, the 4th of July on KTXA-TV Time Warner Cable, writes Richard in Plano, Texas.
The music, the bump music, as we this is probably kind of a standard bump music that we've used since our return to the air, is Coldplay's Viva La Vida, highly edited. If you're saying, why can't I hear the version that you guys play? It's because it's been cobbled together from several places in the song. And in order to omit the lyrics, which really didn't have any bearing on our bump music, Viva La Vida by Coldplay. That's the bump music. And we've got all sorts of other bump music we use too, but that's our, we call it our generic bump music because it's what we use when we don't have anything else to use. Listener email. On this Friday, July the 10th, I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, more of your email, then Blog of the Week, and we'll play Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, well, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, and click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300.
He said, I want you to tell the Christians in America, I thank God and Jesus Christ that someone has regarded us as human beings. I've been to the White House and I've met bishops and archbishops, and I've never felt so honored.
If you're a dispensationalist claiming to take the Bible literally, you have to argue that 1 Thessalonians 4:16 functions like a cosmic dog whistle.
You can empty out a large church rather quickly with a pastoral change, or with a music program change, you can vaporize an entire congregation.
There's no doubt that we're dealing with a wayward teenager. The American church can be seen as the teenage son or daughter of a much older and far more stable in the faith Anglican communion.
Well, in just about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., a soundbite of the week with you. You get to hear the four soundbites that we've chosen from this week's Issues Etc. audio, and then you get to vote for which one you think should be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org.
I wonder if our listeners are experiencing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week withdrawal, because we weren't here live last week.
You know, that's true. I hadn't even thought about that. We were not here live last week. We took Friday off because
we
of the
recorded shows,
the,
right?
Because of the Independence Day holiday, and so we didn't do soundbite of the week. We just ended on Thursday abruptly, and then ran special shows. We should say. Original shows
right
on Friday, and I don't know. I mean, the votes, there's a fair number of votes, even having gotten them up a little bit. Like, there's a fair number of votes there.
I'm thinking they've got withdrawal, you know.
Okay, but what does that mean? Does that mean they're going to vote more, or we're gonna
have more votes?
They're gonna lay in bed in the fetal
ever before
position. more than ever.
I'm thinking. I'm just thinking.
You know, Craig, the last time that he predicted this, I feel it. The listeners are going to vote more than ever before. It came true. I mean, it was self-fulfilling prophecy, but it came true, I think. And that was one of those days when we went into first hour on Friday with no votes via email yet for Soundbite of the Week.
I just want to know, you know, Jeff's got the mic open out here, and obviously we have to be quiet, but does he have to heavy breathe into the microphone while he's got the mic open? I'm over there, and I can hear him breathing through my headphones. What gives, Jeff?
I'm getting older. What can I say? I don't know. Maybe I've got asthma.
Well, you know, the funny thing is he will tell every in-studio guest, when that mic is in here, he'll tell every in-studio guest, now watch it, that mic is going to pick you up breathing. The rest of the mics have all sorts of compression on them so that I can breathe and dance around. And I mean, I can do anything I want to in here as long as I don't talk straight into the microphone. People don't hear what I'm doing. But but that one, there he is, that one picks up everything. And it picks up Craig, and it picks up everything, and Jeff has no courtesy toward that mic whatsoever. I mean, there's a way to address a mic when you know that it's that sensitive, and he just doesn't care. And he's the only true radio professional sitting here. Craig and I are not true radio professionals.
I mean, but Craig is.
Well, Craig is. What do you have your degree
in communications?
Okay, then,
yeah.
Then he's the. But you definitely have seniority in terms of radio.
Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah, it is, actually.
But you know what? The reason I'm able to prophesy about the record number of participants in Sound by the Week, I've spent the last hour listening to Jack Van Impe and John Hagee. So they're you know, I'm in the prophecy mood.
You're
maybe.
In the prophecy business, man. That's good. Now he's making prophecies himself. Well, we'll see. We'll see whether or not there are more votes when we come around to Sound by the Week here in about 20 minutes.
Email from Tom in San Angelo, Texas. Yesterday, I was wearing my I Have Issues t-shirt while stopping for some paint at Home Depot. Several of the workers and customers noticed the I Have Issues message on the front and said, I like that. I responded, I do too. It refers to my favorite Christian radio program. I then turned around so they could see talk radio for the Thinking Christian side of the shirt. The gentleman manning the paint booth laughed when he saw it and said he liked it, but thought that it said I Have Jesus upon first glance. He said, that would have been good, too. I then told him it was referring to Issues Etc., and he asked me about the show. He ended up taking down your name and the web address of Issues Etc., and we engaged in a very interesting Christian conversation, not exactly what one would expect while shopping at Home Depot. As I left the store, I was ablaze with thankfulness, not only for the program, but also for this unique manner in which it can be advertised to the public. Speaking of Ablaze, my personal Ablaze thank offering has been sent to Issues Etc. for the past 3 years and will continue to be sent to Lutheran Public Radio for as long as God gives me life and the ability to do so. Thank you very much, Tom. While at the Texas District Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod last week, several fellow pastors said that they heard the names of the congregations I serve announced on Issues Etc. I don't believe any of their churches are on the official list, but I did discover that the Woods are full of both pastors and laymen who appreciate issues, etc. May God continue to bless the work you are doing on Christ's behalf for many years to come. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Tom, in San Angelo, Texas.
Tom, and he's a longtime listener down there in Texas. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Keep wearing the Issues, Etc. t-shirt. That's the reason we have it. That's exactly the reason we have the Issues, I Have Issues t-shirt. Which, by the way, when we play Soundbite of the Week, we will be able to give an LPR bundle package, which includes an I Have Issues t-shirt, to one of the best vote for Soundbite of the Week a little bit later on the program. Although we will not be able to get out any bumper stickers because...
the people at the anniversary, none left, folks. We got to get some more. Craig's working on it.
Bumper stickers are gone, but not for long. Not for long, we promise. So it'll be reduced to a pen, a mug, and an I Have Issues t-shirt, which is still pretty good.
Speaking of t-shirts, thanks to Edie and Steve Wadsworth down in Tennessee for the Tennessee t-shirts and the orange Tennessee hat.
So we found out who it was.
Yes, it was right. The Wadsworths.
Okay, good.
Thank you. She's got that great Life and Grace blog spot.
That was them.
Yes.
All right. That makes sense. Life and Grace is one of those, of all the blogs that refer to our website through the widget, which we'll talk about in just a minute. She's in the top five, isn't she?
She's top two. She's second. For this year, Pastor Whedon's blog is the number one referral to our website, and she is number two in 2009.
Yeah, she has a real professional. I mean, you go to her blog and read it. This is professional stuff. This isn't, you know, just someone on the side blogging. This is someone who knows what they're doing.
It's kind of like Martha Stewart does theology or something like that, because it's got like all kinds of, she does like all these neat things around her house and these crafts and all this stuff. And hey, although I'm not interested in stuff, I find myself somewhat keep coming back to it. I don't know. Why is this?
I'm not even going to venture a guess. Well, thanks for the t-shirt then. Thanks for the hat. It's marvelous stuff. And I particularly enjoy the t-shirt because orange is my favorite color and the hat as well. Although my wife thought it was a Texas hat, just like I did when I first saw it. And then I realized it didn't have any horns on it, so it couldn't have been a Texas hat. But they have the same colors. Texas, UT and Tennessee.
It certainly looks much better than your orange chalada hat.
Well, okay. It's a better... I got the orange chalada hat from a listener, too, but I will say the Tennessee hat is, which is sitting right behind me here, the Tennessee hat is a very nice hat.
It's Nike.
Yeah, it's a very nice hat. And it's one of those I can wear backwards. I mean, if I want to look like...
Please. Todd the Rapper, here we come.
No.
The Rapper from Monroe County.
This is not Rapper. I can't do it with my headphones on. Hold on a second. Don't even try that. Let's see. Beatboxing in our microphones.
What's that called?
First he's heavy breathing, and now he's beatboxing. Or beaks, I don't know.
How would Todd know what that's called? I want to know that story behind that.
I have teenagers at home. See, I can wear this one backwards. And the other ones look funny when you wear them backwards. But this isn't a rapper look. This is my LCMS, typical LCMS youth pastor look.
Oh yes,
you because have the average yeah every yes. LCMS youth pastor except the ones that are, you know, associated with higher things, always put on their baseball caps backwards because, you know, you got to be cool for the kids.
Okay, what's the second thing? They all wear man priests too, and so do you.
That's true.
Now you just need the Hawaiian t-shirt, buddy.
Yeah, the Hawaiian t-shirt, most of them have some bald head and a goatee. So you two qualify in the goatee department. I have hair and no goatee. Although this late in the week, I have more or less a full beard, but that will all be gone before Sunday. It just drives me crazy when pastors do that. It just drives me crazy when pastors try and look like teenagers. I don't know why. I get away with it because I work in here and no one sees me.
Do you want me to proceed?
Yes, I want you to.
Okay, thanks, Johnny.
Hey, that beatbox story is pretty lame. I thought you were going to say that, you know, while you had your 6-month hiatus, you had a little foray into rapping.
No.
Yeah, that was going to be a second career.
T Dub, that was my name.
T Dub.
Yeah. And it's actually my rapper persona. I actually had, you can ask my daughter this, I had a rapper persona for a couple of years. And it was T-Dub McWilkin, and I did pretty good. at least in my daughter's eyes. So,
all right, Cheryl in St. Genevieve. Hi, Todd and Jeff. Just had to tell you that during one of the meals at the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education Conference, the table's topic turned to issues, etc. Seated at the table were both assorted guests and avid listeners. One of your guests, clergy, noted Todd's brilliant mind. He marveled at Todd's ability to articulate good questions while listening slash participating in the discussion, no matter the topic. Another pastor commented on his unbelievable, uncanny ability to produce rap music lyrics. No, I just added that. One person said issues, etc. was better than ever, perhaps due to the freedom now enjoyed. Another listener said how warm and welcoming Todd, Jeff, and Craig had been when they visited the station with their families. And two confessional Lutheran homeschooling moms, my side of the table, admitted they had both purchased MP3 players just to listen to issues, etc. Thank you for promoting CCLE's conference and on classical and Lutheran education, writes Cheryl in St. Genevieve, Missouri.
Well, Cheryl, thank you very much, and thanks for listening as well. And thanks for passing along the nice comments from obviously a variety of listeners. Very kind words about me. The brilliance all belongs to my guests, and the uncanny ability to ask questions is greatly aided by Jeff Shores. So I can't really take credit for all of that. Now,
take any credit for the rapping, though. That's all you, baby.
Yeah, but you got to take credit for the heavy breathing and the beatboxing. But that's no more of that, along with singing. When we come back, blog of the week, then soundbite of the week.
And make believe it came from you.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the Embed Green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
No giggling allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The public debate over abortion is taking an interesting twist. A prominent feminist, Camille Paglia, is publicly advocating a stunning display of honesty in her ongoing campaign for unrestricted abortion. In an article appearing on Salon.com, she wrote, "I have always frankly admitted abortion is murder, the extermination of the powerless by the powerful." She also says it's ridiculous for her pro-abortion colleagues to argue the unborn baby is just a lump of tissue. Paglia says abortion is the annihilation of concrete individuals. Still, she says, women have the right to kill their unborn children. The logic is honest, but doomed to failure. The more people understand abortion, the more they'll reject it.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.